Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
I'm going to continue on this morning with the Foundation Series, and this morning, just want to really get into it really quickly. God has placed on my heart just a couple more messages before we go on long service leave, and this morning, I want to talk about we're at war. A foundational principle that I know is so important, and if I had time, I would share just the testimony of my own life and just the testimony of coming into a place like this church and hearing for the first time ever about the things of God, the things of the spiritual area, and recognizing that I'd opened up my life to the enemy as a young man in some youthful lusts, and that in doing that had given the enemy a stronghold in my life. And if it hadn't have been for the teaching that I had here. You see, I grew up in a typical traditional Methodist church. And I'm not critical, I'm just stating the fact. We had an incredibly great Sunday school. We had over 350 kids in our Sunday school. The leaders were just amazing. Our youth programs were just incredible. The tennis club, the badminton club, everything we did was just incredible. And I thank God for those men and ladies who sacrificially gave of their lives to serve in that church and to seriously lay an incredible foundation of what it was to be in a church. Unfortunately, due to the ministers we had, though, foundational truths were not taught in church. So much so that my father used to hire a bus once a month and used to pick up kids from the local Methodist churches in our area and take us into Youth for Christ, just so that we would hear an evangelistic message, so that we were challenged in becoming Christians. So, due to this lack of basic Bible teaching, I grew up knowing little of what I would say and what Chris Blacker would say would be basic Bible 101 subjects. And it was coming into this church, it was coming into the church in 74, going through Bible college, that I was challenged and started to be taught what I would call basic Bible 101 subjects. And this morning's message is a basic Bible 101 subject. I'm aware that many would understand it. I'm aware that many probably would have heard me even speak on this before. However, the challenge for me as we do these foundational truths is to make certain that every one of us are on the same page as we continue to see not only this church built, but our own lives built. It's a subject that many want to bury, many don't want to talk about. However, I know it to be a foundational principle. It's a foundational principle for me right now as I walk my life. And you'll see why I say that as I go through it. I know that many are being robbed in this area. John 10:10 tells us about the thief, who people don't want to believe exists. But he's there to rob, to steal, to kill and destroy, to stop us from enjoying the truth that God has got. So as I quickly run through some stuff that, again, is not new to many of you, I want you to listen to it again and as you've already heard in the prophetic words and in the songs that we've sung, that we can start to apply some principles and foundational principles to our lives. Ephesians 6:10 to 18 says this: "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may stand your ground. And after you've done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kind of prayers and requests. with this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Let's just pray. Father, I pray that as we open your word this morning, Father, that your word would be truth to us, that Lord God, that the God of this world would not be able to blind us, but that veil that blinds our eyes would be revealed or pushed back, Lord God, and that we would see today the rhema of your word in our circumstances, in our situations, that Lord God, that we would make certain that this is part of your rock that we are standing on this morning as we walk this walk in what Paul says is the day of evil that we're in right now. So, Father, have your way, moved by your Spirit. Let your grace be upon your word, I pray. Amen. So the first thing that Paul says is to be strong. He says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. You see, Paul is finished exhorting the Ephesians on the tasks and the duties which they would perform. But he was well aware that they would have to fight a great and mighty enemy who was out to do all he could to stop them from living as God required. And so he finishes this Ephesians letter by just this little exhortation, be strong, be strong, be strong, so that you will be able to defeat the enemies that you're going to contend with. You know, it's interesting that Joshua was told the same by God when he took over leading the children of Israel after Moses' death. In Joshua 1, 5 to 9, it says, no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Then it says, be strong and courageous. Verse 7 says, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant gave you. Do not turn to it from the right to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Scriptures that we've read many times, scriptures that we've talked about many times. It says, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything that's written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And again, there's so many mini sermons, so many different tracks that we can go in all of these scriptures, but I just want you to see today, be strong. Be strong. Be strong. Be strong. Paul knew the enemy that we were going to face. Paul knew what the day was like that we're living in right now. Be strong. You getting it?
Yes.
Be strong. Thanks, Pat. I'm glad you've got it. Second thing that Paul said after telling them to be strong was to put on the whole armor of God. Not once, but twice. Just as much as we saw in Joshua, it said be strong and courageous three times. As Paul said, be strong. Here he's saying, put on the whole armor of God twice. He's emphasizing something. He's repeating something. And again, you all know when your mum and your dad repeat something, they actually mean it. Haven't I told you? My mum used to say a million times. I think she exaggerated a few times, but it was always a million times. I've told you a million times! Meaning, hey, aren't you getting it yet? And this is what it's all like here. Put on the full armor of God so that you may take your stand against the devil's schemes. That word schemes there means wiles, it means cunning, craftiness, or strategies. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of dark of this world, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may stand your ground, and having done all, stand. You notice it's the whole armor of God, or the full armor of God, not just a piece. Not just, well, I'm just going out here today. You know, like the children of Israel, after fighting Jericho with their whole army, had to fight Ai. And they looked at Ai and thought, oh, that's just a small little village. We won't send everybody out. We'll just send out a few. How silly were they? We know that they lost. We know why they lost. But sometimes we get so cocky that we think we don't need to do it. You know, it's not going to rain today. I won't take my umbrella. Now, you know that's a stupid thing to say in Melbourne because it could rain and it will rain. might snow. You might get hail. You might even get sunshine. And you could get all four in one day. You know, in Melbourne, we don't even think about the rain. We just know it's going to rain. Whereas Queensland or any of those places where David Odd has just been, you know, 23 degrees, gee, it's cold down here, he says. They don't even think it's going to rain up there. You know, even their mantra is perfect one day, perfect the next, isn't it? Boring one day, boring the next, I reckon. You know, I don't think I'll wear the helmet of salvation today. It's going to muck up my hair. Or it won't go with clothes I've got on today. So, no, we'll keep the helmet off. Or I'm not wearing the breastplate of righteousness today because it just looks ugly. Or that belt of truth, it's just old-fashioned, the buckle's no good. Or no, I'm going to wear my flip-flops today. I'm not going to put on my shoes a piece. In fact, I like bare feet today. Who needs a shield of faith? We're just going down the shops. Well, there's a few things I've been thinking, so I better leave the sword of the Spirit home. Or I won't pray in tongues. I won't pray in the Spirit today. I want you all to stand very quickly. Pastor Oxy, you don't have to. Everybody else stand. Now, I've done it before, and I want you to do it again. Everybody, watch me. What did you go off for? She went, oh.
You don't have to reach my feet.
You don't have to reach your feet. You just step into your shoes, okay? You'll be all right. Righto, helmet of salvation, everybody. Come on, do it. Man, just hang on. Where's my camera? Keep it up. Okay, that's what you put on. Covers your mind. The battleground of the enemy is always your mind. First thing that the enemy will always go for is your brain box. Keep your... someone put their... Thank you. Fair dinkum. Okay, helmet of salvation covers our mind, tells us that we're saved. Don't let the enemy ever say you're not. Helmet of salvation, battleground of the enemy. If he can't get your head, he'll go for your heart. Breastplate of righteousness. God tells us that we've been imputed with righteousness, his righteousness. Even though the enemy will tell you that you're filthy, even though the enemy will tell you you're no good, you have the righteousness of God in Christ wrapped around you, the breastplate of righteousness. If he can't get your head and he can't get your heart, then he'll try and hinder your walk. Belt of truth. Come on, hold your pants up. I've told you the story about watching the first ever, ever, ever thing in Melbourne at... stupid, it's in the tip of my tongue, doesn't matter, but it was the Beatles anyhow, Southern Cross Hotel, that's what it was, and it was a black and white telly, I was looking, and a policeman came up, and there was a little bit of a crowd making a noise, nothing like they do today, and the copper just came up, and he ripped this guy's pants down, hobbled him, couldn't walk. And that's what the enemy wants to do to us. If he can't get our head and he can't get our heart, he'll try and hinder our walk. We need the belt of truth. Truth sets us free. Our feet shod with the preparation. You can just stand in them. Feet shod with the preparation. Put them on. Okay. That helps us to walk. It's peace. I will guide you. I'll keep you in perfect peace. Let the peace of God rule in your heart. It's our guide. It's our thing that we use to walk the walk with God. Shield of faith. Up. Quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. Those little darts, bitterness, anger, envy, jealousy. If he can't get your head, he can't get your heart, he can't pull your pants down, he can't hinder your walk and where you're going, then he'll use little infections to get you. And then God has given us a defensive or an attacking weapon, the sword of the Spirit and tongues. Please sit down. Time's running away. But you can see that you need to have all your clothes on. Now, I can see quickly looking around that there's no one in the nude here. Okay, everybody came dressed this morning. You even put on all your clothes this morning. Why? Because you know that's what you do. Why would we do anything different? And so Paul is saying, put on the whole armour of God. Make certain that you wear the armour of God. It should be something that we are just so... subconsciously doing all the time, that we know that we know that we know we're wearing it. Yet again, so many people don't. God has given us armor to protect us from the enemy. Then he's given us weapons. We'll be looking at in a minute. Then Paul reminds them of the enemy, the one who has schemes, who has wiles, who is cunning, who's crafty, whose strategies are there. The enemy is going to oppose them in their Christian walk. And he says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of darkness of this world, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. You know, I have scriptures that God has pummeled into my brain that help me to do the things that I do. And this scripture here has protected me from being hurt, from being put down, from being feeling inadequate, whatever the case may be. I'm not wrestling people. My fight is not against people. When I get a nasty note, I get plenty of nice ones, thank you too. When I get a nasty note, when I get a nasty phone call, when somebody drops a little barb out of their mouth, I'm not wrestling flesh and blood. I'm against the enemy. And I've read the back of the book and I win. And do you understand, you know, this scripture is so important for us. We're not wrestling flesh and blood. It just looks like flesh and blood. It just looks like it's people or others or circumstances or situations or whatever the case may be. I'm not wrestling Dan Andrews, thank goodness. We'll talk about where he comes from in a minute, but whatever the case is, it's not flesh and blood. And I know what I said there, and I said it on purpose, because there's some evil forces operating in our world at the moment. But it's not people. It's not them. It's what's behind them that we need to be praying for. Never ceases to amaze me how many Christians don't want to talk about or even admit that Satan exists. I don't know how they can be so blind, except the God of this world blinds their eyes. What an incredibly clever enemy to get us Christians to believe that he doesn't exist. That's like playing a game with the kids. You know, I play with the grandkids and they play hide and seek in our lounge room. And you go in and you go, I wonder where they are. They're not here. And then all of a sudden behind the chair, I'm over here. Satan exists. In Scripture, God is telling us clearly that even though it might look like we're fighting flesh and blood, natural things, our battle is spiritual. One of Satan's schemes, his cunning craftiness, is to deceive us into thinking that he doesn't exist, or making us think that it's negative to talk about him. That's not the case. Just read your scriptures and find how many times Jesus himself talked about Satan. In fact, it's not only imperative that we know about our enemy, it's good to speak of his strategies. It's good to speak in his cunning craftiness. It's good to speak, as Chris did this morning, about his defeat by Jesus. If we're going to see Satan exposed, if we're going to see Satan defeated in our lives, it stands to reason that we need to know how he works so that we might be prepared and alert. So before we move on with this scripture in Ephesians 6, let's make sure we're all on the same page. Let's make certain that we're clear. We have foundational truths about Satan and about how he works. So as Christians, we are at war. We do have an enemy. Ephesians 6:12, we've read that. We won't read it again because of time. 2 Timothy 2:3-4, you therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier. Why would you be a soldier if you weren't at war? And if you are at war and you are a good soldier, then you have an enemy. And as we've seen, it's not us. It's not flesh and blood. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he might please him who enlisted him as a soldier. We are soldiers. We've been given armor. 1 Timothy 1:18, this charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage a good warfare. Not new, all these scriptures, everything that I'm sharing with you, you've heard dozens of times, either by me, Pastor Oxy, David Odd, somebody. Please, this is foundational truth. As I said, basic Bible 101 that we need to understand and work in. 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold of eternal life, to which you're also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. The second point is that we might be at war, but our warfare is from a place of victory. Again, you know, when you know that you've won, it makes a big difference in the way that you fight. If you know that your gun is bigger than your enemy's gun, you feel more powerful. You are of God, little children, and you have overcome them because he who is in you, the Holy Spirit who is in us, is greater than he who is in the world that we live in. Luke 10:19, behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you. One of the tricks of the enemy is to make you think that he can get you. If he's not going to get you, he's going to get your kids. No, you shouldn't talk about that, because you know what happens. If you talk about that, it's going to happen. Or I'm going to get your kids. I'm going to get your husband. I'm going to get your wife. Or you'll lose your job. Or the last time you spoke about it, look what happened. Don't do it again. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. We read in Scripture that Jesus did defeat Satan. 1 John 3, verse 8. The reason the Son of God was made manifest, visible, was to undo, destroy, loosen, and dissolve the works that the devil has done. Our base of victory is all due to the fact that Christ was victorious over Satan. And the only way that Satan then can win against Christians is to deceive them. John 10:10, again, a favourite scripture. A thief comes only to steal, to kill and destroy. I haven't got time, but I would... Oh, yes, I have. Hey, Denny, you got any money in your pocket? You look like a rich man. Can I borrow it, please? Well, really, I'm not going to borrow it. I'm just going to steal it. Thank you. Come on, Den. Fair dinkum. No, I'll just have the whole lot.
All right.
Hey, thanks. Wow, look at that, man. Look how much money's in there, Bill.
Oh, wow.
Gee whiz. That's how Satan works. He deceives us. You see, I'm such a handsome man, so honest in my face. And then he knows me, and he trusts me. And he just gave me his wallet. And now it's mine. No, it's not mine. It's not mine because it still is his. I just stole it. And I stole it by deception. And as Christians, that's how Satan works in our lives. He trips us into thinking that we don't own it, or that we give it over without recognizing what he's going to do. Steal, kill, and destroy. Deception. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary is the devil. Walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The word devour, whittle away slowly. It's like getting a hunk of wood with a little pocket knife and just slowly whittling it away. And that's how Satan works in our lives. He does it little by little, line upon line, until finally it's that frog in the cold water being boiled trick. Be sober, be vigilant. We need to be watchful. So having established that as Christians we're at war and the position from which we fight, let's learn a little bit about Satan himself. Satan does have limitations. He is not like our God. He isn't omnipotent. He doesn't have unlimited power. He's not omnipresent. He's not all present. He walks to and fro. He's not omniscient. He's not all-knowing. Again, I'm just brushing over these things. You can go back into past sermons. There was a series I did about 2 years ago on God's protective clothing. I think there was 8 in the series. Go and get them, download them, read it again, listen to them again. There's so many of these sermons. If you want the whole notes, I'm quite happy to send you Pastor Oxy's spiritual warfare principles notes, just so you can study and read them yourself. Get to know what we're talking about here. Also, we know what Satan's like when we look at his names. Like Jesus' names, Bread of Life, Alpha and Omega, etc. Satan has names throughout the Bible Those names tell us what he's like. He's Lucifer. He's a shining one. He's Satan, our adversary, our opponent, our enemy. He's the devil, the accuser, the slanderer. He's a serpent, signifying his subtlety and wisdom. He's a dragon, symbolizing his rage. He's Beelzebub, prince of the devils. He's prince of the power of this age. He's the god of this world. He's the prince of this world. He's also known as the adversary, the tempter, the accuser, the wicked one, a roaring lion. Again, the Bible tells us an awful lot about him. Satan does have authority in his realm, but that is in God's realm, God's kingdom. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. The earth belongs to God, but Satan does have authority. He's called the god of this age. Why? Because he's blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the glorious gospel. The god of this age, the god of the cosmos, the god of the world order that's happening. The things that we listen to with Elizabeth Taylor. There's a number of things I'm going to share next week as I continue on this, as talking about We Are Soldiers, which as parents, as people living today, we need to be aware of. We need to know how to work them through. But we also need to know that this is not coming from a person. It's coming from the God of this world, a world order. And that's why we can win, because we can pray. If my people are called by thy name will humble themselves and pray, I will heal their land. Of course we know, as we read through the prophetic scriptures, what's going to happen. We can see that happening right now, but that doesn't stop us from praying. It doesn't stop us from believing. It doesn't stop us from claiming people back for God. It's what evangelism is all about. That is what we're doing here. That's why we are a light on a hill. That's why we do what we do. That's why we have a Christian school. That's why we have a Christian early learning center. That's why we open up the basketball stadium and done youth programs and children's programs. Because we're trying to pluck people out of the kingdom of darkness, as well as providing a safe place for our people. 1 John 5:19 says, we know positively that we are of God, and the whole world around us is under the power of the evil one. We can see that. However, Christians living as separated and walking with God have greater authority. And as I said before, behold, I have given you authority, power to trample on serpents and scorpions, and physical, mental strength and ability, all the power that the enemy possesses, and nothing shall in any way harm you. So in short, before we were Christians, we were under Satan's control and power. Becoming Christians, we have been now given authority, and so we are over him in this world that we live. As Christians, we've been given weapons to fight the enemy. They're not carnal. We've been given authority. We've been given the name of the Lord Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the word, truth, our testimony, our praise. Dan talked about that this morning when we were singing, just the power of praise. We've been given prayer. We've been given resistance. Pastor Oxy, incredible mentor in this subject to me, used to always say, victory in the spiritual realm means victory in all realms. If we can see that we have victory, if we can see the authority and the power that we've been given, if we can see the weapons and the armor that we've been given, if we can start to live a separated life, walking on these foundational truths, then we will see victory in our lives. So the last point is standing our ground. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may stand your ground, count the stands. And after you have done all, stand firm then with the breastplate, etc., etc., etc. Remember, a repeat is important. Stand. Resist the devil and he will flee. Stand, resist, don't lose ground. Hang in there. You will win if you don't give up. You will win if you don't give up. One of the most important truths is in this bit, having done all. If you've got your armor on, if you're using the weapons to the best of your ability, If you're recognizing, as Chris said, the victory we have through what Christ's death, burial, resurrection means, if you've done everything that you know possible that the God has given to you, quickened to you through his Spirit, the Bible says, having done all, stand. Just wait. Unfortunately, we live in an age where we expect instant like that. I've said it before, you're watching telly, you're watching football, there's a goal kicked. And by the time the goal, other people get the ball and take it back to the centre to bounce it, there's been two ads. That's how fast everything is happening right now. Bang, 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 bang. And we start to tap our feet when it's not happening. Why? Because we expect instant results, always. We talked about being in a queue a couple of services ago. So many get trapped into thinking it didn't work. How do you know it didn't work? How do you know it's not working? How do you know that your prayer did not put into action a chain that's going right around the world? God has so many things he needs to do. You imagine the prayers God must have to answer every day. Here's somebody yesterday praying that it didn't rain. Yet the people that were going to the snow were praying, man, I hope it snows. Now, what's God going to do? Oh, well, I'll have a little bit of sunshine for that person. I'll have a little bit of snow for that person. It didn't work. How do you know? I don't know whether you've ever watched the old war film Force 10 from Navarone. A great movie. A war film about a team of soldiers in the Second World War who were sent covertly to go and blow up a dam. They infiltrated the area. They set the charges where they were told to set the charges. Then they retreated to watch while they pushed the plunger. Everybody's there. They can see the dam wall. I mean the retarding basin wall. You shouldn't say dam in church. And they push the plunger. Thank you, Denny. You always laugh well. Thank you, Denny. They push that plunger. They heard the low rumble of the charge going off. And then nothing. Nothing happened. They watched. Nothing happened. They were just about to pack up, go home, thinking they'd failed their mission, when all of a sudden one of them saw a crack start to happen in the dam wall. The crack grew and grew and grew until finally there was a great cavern in that dam wall. Water went through and their mission was successful. You see, what the boffins back in England hadn't told them was that when you set off the charge, nothing will happen immediately. But underneath, there will be like a giant tsunami that will roll back. And as that wave comes back, the pressure of that wave coming back against that wall will be so great that it'll start to crack the wall. And once you've got a little crack, we all know it doesn't take long for the rest to happen. How do you know that your prayer, that you're resisting, that you're putting on the armor of God, that you're using the weapons that God has given you, has not set off a charge that has released something that has allowed God to cause a crack to happen in your circumstance and situation? Having done all, stand. Just wait. Believing, trusting, having faith in God that he knows what he's doing. Too many give in when all we have to do is be strong, put on the whole armor, remember who our enemy is and the victory that is already ours, and be patient enough to stand resisting the enemy until he finally flees in your situation. As I said, next week I want to finish this by talking about we are soldiers, and it's not the we are soldiers that you might be thinking. There's some principles that God has given me and shown me, which I think are very important for the age that we live, the things that we're facing as Christians, as parents, in our schools, in our circumstances, in our situations. Come next week and let me finish off this series. Father, I pray that you would overshadow each person here. That Lord God, as we've already sung about the mighty name of Jesus, that we've been exhorted in a prophetic word, Lord God, as we know you are the same yesterday, today and forever. And Lord God, as we recognize and acknowledge the fact, are we to be grateful for what Jesus has done through, Lord God, his death, his burial, his resurrection. As we've been given weapons, as we've been given armor, Lord, I pray that you would help us to recognize that we do have an enemy, but we also have the weapons and the armor to see him push back in our lives and in our circumstances and our situations. So, Father, right now, I pray for every person here, particularly those that are facing circumstances and situations in their lives, whether it be of their own doing or whether it be of the doing of others. Lord God, I pray that you would this day encourage them to stand and to fight and to claim back the ground. As you told Joshua, every place that you put the sole of your feet, I'm going to give you. Lord God, I pray that people would have the faith, as we've talked in recent weeks, the faith to now put their feet on the ground that is rightfully theirs, that we might see that life that you won for us, that abundant life, that eternal life that you won for us, being our portion. Lord, have your way, I pray, in Jesus' lovely name. Amen.